Look up your booty. The pirates are coming.
Welcome to Wrecked, a Wreckwatch TV podcast about the golden age of pirate mayhem. Over the coming months, we're going to investigate the truth behind these roguish sea dogs. What made a pirate? What inspired their reign of terror? And what's true or just Hollywood smoke and mirrors? I'm Sean Kingsley, and this is The Real Pirates of the Caribbean. It's a chilly winter's day in London town, and I'm standing by the riverside at Wapping. The sun-kissed Caribbean feels a very long way off. I've gone past the Captain Kidd pub, tipped my hat to the old dog, and now I'm gingerly clambering down steep steps to a small beach facing the River Thames. There's no white sands and coral here, just muddy ooze and shingle, but if I close my eyes, I can smell the rum-soaked past in the freezing air. Because this is ground zero if you want to understand the rise and fall of the real pirates of the Caribbean. London, you cry? What you talking about? Why London? Well, it's simple. London meant money, and hard cash was what pirates wanted more than booze, adventure, and babes.
Yarr! Hands off me booty!
Not far from here, a stone's throw from the Tower of London, once stood the mighty headquarters of England's two fattest money spinners, the offices of the East India Company and the Royal African Company. The East India Company sent mountains of hard cash across the Indian Ocean to pay for fancy calico cloth, spices and tea, and porcelain, silk and fine art from China. And London was the heart of the Royal African Company too, that enchained horrifying numbers of Africans between Ghana and Nigeria and trafficked them to the sugar, indigo, coffee and tobacco plantations in the Caribbean and Americas. Then these slavers headed home for London with piles of sugar, tobacco, African gold and ivory, and the cash paid for enslaving a continent. The sea lanes of the Indian Ocean, Red Sea and the Atlantic were colonial Europe's golden goose. Piracy was risky, but a no-brainer for those brave enough or with a death wish. Your average law-abiding sailor might make £12 per voyage to Africa, whereas a pirate could land anywhere between £300 and 3,000 English pounds. Even on small hits, pirates made 30 times the income of an everyday sailor. That'll do nicely. The great pirates Edward Low and Mary Read were born in London, and the best of the rest came from the West Country. Henry Avery the Pirate King lived in Plymouth, Black Sam Bellamy in Devon, and Bartholomew Roberts in Wales. Many of the most famous pirate ships were built in London, like Henry Avery's flagship the Charles II frigate that became the Fancy. Captain Kidd's merchant galley was launched at Castle Yard in Deptford, and Black Sam Bellamy's Widder Galley was made in England's capital city too. It was in London that waves of pirate princes started their reigns of terror, including William Kidd and Bartholomew Roberts. And when the dust settled, the pirates of the Caribbean were dragged back to London to be hanged. By the law of the Piracy Act, pirates weren't allowed to be tried on the high seas, so the accused had to be dragged in chains for trial in London. When the gunpowder dried up, 600 pirates ended up executed, around 10% of all the sea dogs of the Caribbean. Most pirates never got to enjoy their ill-gotten gains, which is exactly why Bartholomew Roberts swore that
"a merry life and a sure one shall be my motto."
It was right here at Execution Dock in London that the unlucky Captain William Kidd was hanged for his crimes on May the 23rd, 1701. Well, hanged twice after the rope snapped. Like all pirates, a short rope made sure the drop wasn't long enough to break his neck. Instead, the sea dog died a slow, painful death, struggling for air as his legs jangled in a desperate jig known as the Marshal's Dance, after the sadistic officer watching on. Pirates were left hanging until three tides had ebbed and flowed over their heads, so the baying mob would have no doubt that their heroes weren't coming back from the dead. Some pirates were buried in an unmarked grave or sent to Surgeon's Hall for students to practice cutting up. Gruesome. Because Kidd's crimes were especially awful, his body was tarred and displayed in an iron cage at Tilbury Point on the lower reaches of the Thames for 3 smelly years. The message for passing sailors was clear: turn pirate and this will be the fate for the enemies of all mankind. Right in front of me, still in Wapping, is a loop of rope. It's hanging from a gallows. It marks the traditional site of Execution Dock. The rope is hanging dead still. The landscape here hasn't changed much. Seagulls swoop over warehouses hundreds of years old, and the riverscape is the same as it ever was. Only the wooden walls of all those great ships and their cargoes that launched an empire are long gone. 300 years ago, the banks of the Thames had been thronged with noisy crowds of up to 20,000 people, rubbernecking to see those notorious criminals they'd read about in the newspapers executed. The mood was more party time than solemn. The most famous and high-profile hanging in all pirate history here followed the trial of 6 of the crew of Henry Avery on November the 25th, 1696. Henry Avery was the pirate king who single-handedly nearly strangled England's Golden Goose. In September 1695, he hit the jackpot off Surat in India when he looted the Emperor Aurangzeb's treasure ship the Gunsway of £600,000. That's an eye-watering $108 million today, people.
Shiver me timbers.
King William III desperately needed to collar the pirate king to save England's sea trade.
Yeah, you're nicked.
A £1,000 bounty was put on Avery's head, dead or alive. That's about $140,000 today. And so the world's first global manhunt began. But Avery vanished in a puff of smoke. His fate is the longest cold case in pirate history, or it was until this year, when a new book by Sean Kingsley, that's me, and Rex Cowan, The Strange Adventures of Henry Avery and the Birth of the Golden Age of Piracy, exposes the unbelievable truth based on a previously unseen letter. Watch out for more about this stunning reveal, published by Pegasus Books, very soon. With Avery vanished, the Admiralty had to make do with a show trial. And so on October the 31st, 1696, Henry Avery's crewmen, Joseph Dawson, Edward Forsyth, William May, William Bishop, James Lewis and John Sparks were pushed double-fettered in iron chains into the Old Bailey courtroom. The night before, their jailer had enjoyed rattling their prison bars and scaring them with his terrifying tune.
All you that in the condemned hold do lie, prepare you, for tomorrow you will die. Watch all and pray, the hour is drawing near, that you before the Almighty must appear. Examine well yourselves in time, repent, that you may not to eternal flames be sent. And when St. Sepulchre's bell tomorrow tolls, the Lord have mercy on your soul.
Avery's crew were charged with feloniously and piratically taking and carrying away from persons unknown a certain ship called the Gunsway, together with 100,000 pieces of eight and 100,000 chickens upon the high seas, 10 leagues from the Cape St. John's, near Surat, East Indies. The crew were duly sentenced as the judge brought down England's ultimate justice, announcing that
the law for the heinous of your crime hath appointed a severe punishment by an ignominious death, and judgment which the law rewards is this, that you'll and every one of you'll be taken to the place of execution, and there you'll and every one of you'll be hanged by the neck until you'll and every one of you'll be dead, and the Lord have mercy upon you.
You're right, we get the point. And so the story of the Golden Age of Pirates began and ended not in the Caribbean, but in London Town. Pirates continued to be brought to justice here for centuries. The last sea dog was hanged at Execution Dock as late as 1830. It was London that let the pirates loose on the world and created a legend. Thanks for listening to Wrecked, a podcast brought to you by Wreckwatch TV. For more about the sunken past, check out our magazine and TV channel at the links below. Until then, go shiver your timbers and stay tuned for more stories of mayhem and treasure in the next installments of our Pirates Festival, where dead men do tell tales. Coming up, stories of shipwrecks, pirate truth bombs, and exciting reveals. And why? Because deep down, we care.